In today's video, we're going to talk about one of my favorite armored vehicles, a stylish vehicle that has even been tested in Spain, Colombia, Somalia, and Iraq. I'm referring to the Centauro, designed in Italy. The Centauro is the heir to a tradition of building wheeled armored vehicles in Italy. It's an armored vehicle that's perfectly suited for countries like Spain and South America, and it also has a series of features that make it a vehicle that was ahead of its time. So, let's get started. Before diving headfirst into learning about this machine, we should look back and realize that Italy has a significant tradition of designing and manufacturing wheeled armored vehicles. Let's remember that wheels are often compared to tracks, and the former are easier to maintain and allow for long distances on the road, where they're also more agile. However, tracks can move much better over all types of terrain and allow for much heavier vehicles. So, the Italians already had the AB-41 and AB-43 armored vehicles that fought in the middle of World War II. The AB-41 and AB-43 are two of my favorite vehicles from World War II. They were, well, four-wheel drive armored vehicles for scouting purposes. One had a semi-automatic cannon, the other had a 37mm anti-tank gun. They weren't large or very famous armored vehicles, but they had some features that gave them a very special role during the war in North Africa. In the 1950s, the curious Breda 501 continued in service, which with its 88mm cannon became a highly mobile anti-tank weapon. Later, Fiat designed the 6614 and 6616 series armored vehicles that were notably successful in exporting thanks to their agility, and even the South Koreans manufactured them under license with the name KM900. Fiat, Iveco, or Tamallara. Italian vehicles have been characterized, from the point of view of wheeled armor, by being designed to move on roads and to be very fast on them. If we think instead about the doctrine or philosophy of French design and wheeled armor, we will see that they are indeed wheeled armor, but they are not only designed for roads, but even to a certain extent for traveling through open fields or areas with quite soft surfaces. And so things come to the 80s. At that time, wheeled armor with the function of transporting infantry and providing support became fashionable in NATO. For example, the Spanish built the BMR 600, the French the BAP, and the Germans the Fuchses. In fact, if we look closely, most of the vehicles were 4x4 or 6x6 designs. This is a contraction in 4 or 6 wheels. Only the LAP of the United States Marines, which was also 8x8, escaped this rule. Why is an 8x8 vehicle so superior to a 4x4 or a 6x6? Well, note that in percentage terms, an 8x8 is basically double the difference compared to a 4x4. In an 8x8, you can carry much more weight, therefore much more armor, many more mechanisms to make the wheels more mobile, especially off-road. And above all, remember that in modern wars, saving lives has become a political end in itself, and therefore it is necessary to invest in more protection for the soldier, which ultimately results in much more weight and therefore in armored vehicles that require more wheels. At that time, a large part of the Italian armored force still had the old M47 Patton tanks, but military planners wanted to replace them, and that was when the requirement that would give rise to the Centauro was born. But wait, not so fast. You may be wondering, what were the requirements that led to the birth of this vehicle? What were the needs of the Italians? Well, remember that at that time we were still in the middle of the Cold War, so the Italians feared that the Warsaw Pact, with Yugoslav support, could launch an invasion of Italy across the Adriatic Sea. In this case, it was expected that the spearhead of the Red Army would be the Soviet naval infantry equipped with fairly light vehicles, as well as the BDV paratroopers, who would be dropped en masse on Italy and who, due to their doctrine, would be equipped with a certain number of armored vehicles. Of course, keep in mind that the BDV, as it is called, which are basically the Soviet and Russian paratroopers, had a very different doctrine from the one we have in the West, and that doctrine implied that it was a kind of mechanized paratroopers that had a large number of armored vehicles. They did not have the range, the capacity to deploy as far as the Western ones, but they had the capacity to deploy much more powerful paratrooper forces than the Western ones, and that is why they were a greater threat, because they had a large number of armored vehicles. Faced with an offensive like the one I've described, the Italians needed agile units capable of responding quickly to amphibious landings and vertical assaults by Russian paratroopers. As you can imagine, in order to move troops quickly across the entire Italian peninsula, it was important to take advantage of the high speed that wheeled vehicles could achieve on Italy's highway network. So that was the idea. If the Soviets landed or dropped paratroopers, the Italians would quickly deploy cavalry equipped with centaurs to respond like firefighters wherever the enemy was acting to prevent them from digging in and consolidating their bridgehead. All this means that the centaur cannot act as a secondary tank destroyer. Well, yes, of course it can. On the flanks, it has a good chance of penetrating a modern tank. Even in the frontal area, it depends. If it's a fairly modern tank, it has no chance. But the point is that it's not designed for that. It is designed to have superiority over other types of medium or light armored vehicles. That is to say, everyone uses light vehicles for reconnaissance, with heavy machine guns, with automatic cannons, and suddenly I arrive with an armored vehicle that is also of that type. It is medium, it is not, super heavy, it does not have great armor, but it has a cannon that allows me to destroy other light and medium armored vehicles. Well, it is as if it had the firepower of a somewhat old tank, so to speak. All this leads to a very important idea. The Centaur was not designed to be a tank destroyer, but to be used as an armored reconnaissance vehicle designed to face medium armored vehicles. That is, armored vehicles without cannons or armor comparable to that of a tank. That is to say, a Centaur would have to face vehicles like the PT-76 light or amphibious tank, which had little armor and a 76mm cannon, or against an air-launched armored vehicle like the one Bermudian Dollar, which had barely an aluminum plate for armor and a 73mm recoilless cannon, capable of firing at 300 or 400 meters. The Centaur could also be used for counter-reconnaissance, destroying enemy reconnaissance units that were in the vanguard. And the Soviets sent forward units to scout equipped with the weak BRDM-2 or the BTR-70, which barely had a 14.5mm machine gun, exactly the type of caliber that the Centaur's armor could stop. Coincidence? I don't think so. Thanks to the engine block and the slope of the frontal armor plates, the Centaur in that front part can withstand hits from projectiles of up to 30 or 40 millimeters. Typically used by infantry fighting vehicles. Maybe not against the most modern ammunition, but hey, it still has a certain protective capacity. On the flanks, it's another story. It's true that part of the armor is sloped, which is always good. As you know, it favors ricochets and increases the effective thickness of the armor. And in that case, it would protect against the 14.5mm bullets that were typically used by the heaviest machine guns that the Soviets possessed. From there, it must be said that, since this armored vehicle is from the 80s and did not have the experiences of the wars in Afghanistan, where the use of, let's say, homemade mines, has been a very significant source of casualties, it was not designed to withstand this type of explosions in the belly, in the lower part of the armored vehicle. As for the gun, it is a powerful 105mm Otomoto Milaro with a 52 caliber barrel, so it is capable of firing tank-type shells and especially the fearsome arrow ammunition, which in this caliber can destroy the flank of any modern tank. As secondary armament, the Caro can carry several excellent electrically operated MG-42 machine guns known as the Machine in Spain. I think there is a fire control system. Well, to start with, the vehicle commander has a panoramic day and night viewer that allows him to observe the general panorama and has 10x magnification. While the gunner has a second-generation thermal optic known as TURST with 12x magnification. Remember that today we already have cameras of this third generation. And by the way, remember that the Centauro is a reconnaissance vehicle, so it has space for four scouts. These are four infantrymen who can be mounted and dismounted to inspect places and scan the surroundings while the armored vehicle moves. From there, the Centauro has everything that any modern tank needs. That is, good optics, in this case second generation, such as the TST, which is basically an Italian vision system that has been installed in a huge number of important vehicles, from the Ariete, also Italian, to the T-72s of the unmentionable country. From there, it also has a laser rangefinder, that is, a device that allows us to shoot a laser, measure the return and know the distance to the target, which allows for much more precise and faster shooting. And finally, that collimator, right? Which allows us to measure, let's say, the bending or wear of the barrel, even as we fire shots to correct it in the shot, of course. But the real secret of the Centauro lies in its motorization. Not only does it have 8-wheel drive, something unusual at the time, but its mass has been kept below 28 tons, while the Iveco turbo diesel engine provides it with 520 horsepower. Thanks to the latter, the Centauro can exceed 100 kilometers per hour on the road, something atypical for an armored vehicle equipped with a large caliber gun. The mobility of the Centauro also depends on the type of wheels. Some are designed to travel on the road and others for cross-country and on different types of terrain. But in any case, this armored vehicle follows the best tradition of Ferrari of Italy. This is the high speed of its wheeled armored vehicles since the time of the First World War. So the Centauro was finally presented in the 90s on the island of Sardinia. And why is it called Centauro, you may be wondering? Well, they are named after a traditional Italian armored division, the 131st Armored Division, the Centauro, which was basically one of the divisions that played a more important role in World War II, along with others, right? Like the Folgore, which was a paratrooper division, or the Ariete division, for example. Over the years, the Centauro has demonstrated its versatility by adapting various changes and improvements. For example, the Spanish Centauro has the artifice, unlike the Italian versions, so that it can lay smoke screens. Given the weakness of the Centauro's armor, the Italians have also developed the Romor. This is a British armor package that reduces mobility, but adds a lot of protection to this armored vehicle, since thanks to this reactive armor it is capable of resisting many of the most popular anti-tank weapons on the battlefield, including the fearsome RPG-7. What about the Centauro? Well, the truth is that it was an armored vehicle that was very good, ahead of its time, with good technologies at the time, it can still be up to par, but it already has a series of shortcomings. What are these? Well, for example, the protection against explosives in the belly, as we have already pointed out, the lack of what is called a battlefield management system, let's say, a military Google Maps, for example. And from there, well, the type of ammunition that it can use must be modernized, the optics must be modernized if possible, because, man, the second generation ones are already getting old, and even more so one like this one that is from the 90s. Let's hope that they are modernized little by little. And it must be said, however, that there is already a new version that covers a good part of these needs known as the Centauro 2. The Centauros have been acquired by arid countries such as Jordan and Oman. And Italy has deployed them in the former Yugoslavia, Somalia and Iraq, where these armored vehicles have served well as long as they have been used along the roads, escorting convoys or providing fire support. However, their thin armor and lack of protection against homemade explosives have created a need to improve them. In terms of mobility, and despite being an 8x8 vehicle, it still suffers from the shortcomings of any armored vehicle of this type and in that sense it does not move well off-road and trails. Not surprisingly, during tests in La Guajira in Colombia it was found that the armored vehicle could not compete with the old M113s from the 60s, which moved much better off-road. The fact is that throughout 2000 interest in 8x8 armored vehicles over 4x4s and 6x6s grew, so Otto, Molara and Iveco took advantage of the opportunity. The fact is that OMN requested to acquire a handful of very special Centaurs. And these would be the only Centaurs in the world armed with a much more powerful 120mm cannon. So the Italians took advantage of the development of the latest Centaur for their next 8x8 armored vehicle, so much so that a few years later Italy presented its own vehicle of this type, the Freccia. And it should be remembered that most European armies are tending to switch the bulk of their armored vehicles from being tracked to being wheeled. And within this latter category, as armored combat units, the 8x8 design stands out. Well, as you can see, the Centaur has had a history of, well, a certain success. It is true that it has not been sold to many countries, that is to say, in the end it is Spain, Italy, donated, it is true many, then to Jordan, a few acquired by man and very few more. However, it seems to me that it is a good vehicle for what it was designed for. It's a bit outdated, but hey, we can see that new versions are also emerging and this vehicle can surely be modernized without any problems. From there, I want to leave you the Steel Beasts video game in a link below. In this case, they haven't sponsored the video or anything. I have an agreement with them for something else that will come out in a while, but I wanted to do it because I feel like it and because I think it's worth it. Steel Beast is not a simple video game, it's a real simulator. It's a simulator that real military personnel train with. It's not other types of video games that don't really simulate reality. If you want to know what it's like to drive a real vehicle, what it's like to control the laser, what it's like to know the internal problems of that real vehicle, for example, there are many vehicles that tell you, it has a laser rangefinder, okay, but then it turns out that the laser rangefinder can't be used for very long, you have to wait a few seconds before launching it again or you'll melt it, simulating all that soul of the vehicle, all those flaws that the vehicle really has, all those limitations that the vehicle really has, we find it in Steel Beast. It's very special and again, I insist that those of you who like this take a good look because it's really worth it. In fact, it's basically the only simulator that I consider worth it, so to speak. So that's it, guys, I hope you liked it a lot. I love the Centaur. I hope one day I can learn more about this vehicle. And that's it, you know, leave me a comment, hit the bell, like it and well, all that helps a lot. I'll leave Patreon, PayPal and all this below and that's it. Thank you very much and see you later. What a way to make a living get in. It's all taken. I'm no given just used and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive crazy. If you two for your dev you think that my dare.